This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On Joy Now, Transpositions, a safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Transpositions. I'm Michelle. And this week, my co-host is Andrea, and we're joined by our guest, Jay Urbanek. Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let you first get your headset on. It's a bit of a mad little scramble here.
Tell me that I had to wear one.
Oh, this is going to be fun. look, quite honestly, transition really is one of the hardest things anyone could really consider going through. There's everything from the psychological assessments, medical assessments, hormones, mood swings, anxiety. From a trans woman point of view, we have things like hair removal and transplants and everything. You're talking building a whole new personality while rediscovering who you are and the things that are from the iceberg called transition. Look, many of the conversations we have, a lot of people who kind of approach us, and I think all three of us have had this, you know, now that myself, I'm now 15 months into my transition. Jay, we always have a debate on this. We always joke, and you're about 3.5, almost 4 years now.
14, 15.
Yeah, years, you know, you just shit it in. You're great.
They're just numbers.
They're just numbers.
It doesn't really matter.
We're all at different stages of transition within this forest all. And so a lot of people in the beginning, they all think they can just go and take some hormones, throw on a dress, and oops, now I'm a woman. Well, it's a hell of a lot more than that that goes on there. So anyway, so this evening we'll be discussing transition from our own experiences and perspective and where we are at the present time. For each of us, it's been a very different journey. And you have to realize that we all start from somewhere and we all end up somewhere different. And all of us, it's all of our own individual journeys. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. This is Michelle. My lovely panelist, Andrea, is just trying to figure some things out there. And our guest, Jay. Welcome, Jay.
Hi, thanks.
Now, the whole idea here was talking about our different journeys and our different paths that we've gone on. So obviously you get three different women here who are at different stages of this whole transition. And I'm sure we all can remember how anxious we were in the beginning, getting onto HRT regimes and the beginning to an end of our dysphoria, all those days of scouring the internet, searching for information that would explain our feelings, only told that in the end you really need to have a referral letter from your psychologist to go really further. And just to give a bit of a background, my relationship, say, with Jay. Jay actually was the one who got me onto where I'm at today. So I always joke and say, you're my maker, which is kind of funny. But I remember just what stood out to me, Jay, was the amount of research you did. Can you just tell me a bit about the beginning of your transition and just give us a brief history of how you get started?
For me, I guess a big thing was knowing exactly what I was going to get into, what was possible. I'm a person who likes to research, and if I'm going to do something, I want to know about it, and I want to know about it to, you know, the absolute degree that is possible. So much so that I knew that I was going to transition at that point, and I wanted to know exactly what hormones were available, what blockers were available, what they did, what they didn't do, what different kinds, so on and so forth and blah. I actually went into my doctor with a ring binder full of documents that I collected with research from globally, which was, you know, the different amounts they took, what different drugs there were, blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, this is what I want. I think a common mistake people make is not knowing, just walking into, you know, a doctor's surgery and saying, I want to start transition. What do I do? And the doctor said, just take that. You know, I think it's, if you're going to do something, do it right and research. Know what you're doing. You have one body and you want to know what you can and can't do and what's right. So, yeah, for me, it was about that knowing. And
no, I'm definitely going to put myself in the spot here. And I remember actually our first meeting. And I remember meeting you over at Melbourne Central for the first time. And I remember actually looking myself, looking around trying to find different places to go and find the help and find different meetup groups or find something to just help me make sense of what the hell it was going on in my head. And I remember actually standing there, I think it was in my suit with some like runners and a backpack or something like that. And we went up to...
You forgot the baseball cap.
Oh, yeah, the baseball cap.
The beard.
The beard, yeah.
Sorry.
I think you were staring at me from like across the shopping center going, oh my God, is this what I'm dealing with?
No, I didn't know. I'd never seen you before. So
yeah,
I circled you twice. I wonder if this is her.
and Jay always reminds me.
Do you think she's changed a little bit?
No, just, the beard still looks good now.
Doesn't it like that? You get the Conchita thing going on?
Of course she has. She looks fantastic.
But I remember even like we were sitting there and we were having our peas at that Japanese restaurant. And you pulled out your mirror and you kept giving me trouble about how much I was just watching you put your lipstick on.
Oh, because when I eat, my makeup disappears because I eat it all off. Yes.
Yeah, like the Cookie Monster, the way you eat.
Pretty much, yeah. No, and I remember that well, and I had got out my little mirror to put my lips back on, and Michelle kind of sat there with these huge doe eyes staring up. It was like the cat off Shrek. What's the, you know, the big,
oh yeah,
drippy eyes.
Puss in Boots.
I want to play makeup too.
So look, that basically was my beginning of getting into all this here, and one of the things that really stood out to me was how you really approached really letting things develop on their own. And you were guiding me, tell me about the androgynous stage and how, you know, wearing beanies or just trying to mix things in as you were sort of blending. Can you elaborate? I don't really remember.
Yeah, sure. I think what worked for me, I think you work with transition. Hormones don't work overnight. You know, you don't, you know, go from one gender per se aesthetically to another instantly. It takes time and the changes are gradual. So my theory was to work with that rather than against that. I don't think there's much point, you know, when you've just had a month worth of hormones to go out and buy the most glamorous dress, stick on a wig and announce to the world that you're now, you know, Madonna, whatever you want to be. I think it's best to work with. So, and part of working with is learning what your body's doing, the changes you're making, learning how to walk and talk with what's happening, learning your new aesthetic. And I think going androgynous with that is actually much more helpful than diving in off the deep. I mean, diving in off the deep end might be good for some people. But I think personally is to just go slowly and go with it and enjoy the time because you do only have it once. And as much as it's a horrible time, sort of, but it's you only get to transition once and then it's gone. You don't get to do it again. So live the androgynous part of it. You know, watch your body change. Work with it, I think, is a good thing to do. It's kind of fun, you know. And eventually you, the point will come where you're not androgynous anymore and people go, what are you doing in the wrong bathroom?
Yeah. Exactly. I remember when I was at that sort of stage, like that sort of like beginning within the first like two, it was actually about maybe the third or fourth month is when I actually found that when I was going with it, I actually started struggling going into the toilets. And next thing I'm going, God, I really feel uncomfortable. I really feel out of place going in here. Did that happen for you like after rather way or how long did it take for you to do that?
I think a key time for me, I was working in the city in quite a corporate job. And I hadn't announced to anyone that I was transitioning and I was doing the andro thing, going to work with, you know, a bit of hair sticking out of my beanie and eyeliner and tight jeans and long cardies and stuff. And I was still using the men's room at this stage. And I had a couple of people burst in through the door as they do in the men's room. And I was washing my hands in the mirror and they'd look at me and they'd walk back out only to go and read the signs and go, oh, there was the right bathroom. So eventually it got to the point where it happened a few times and I had to go to my boss and say, hey, I think it's time for me to, you know, I have to use a different bathroom now. I need to tell you something.
Oops.
Yeah. So there comes a point where, and again, it's working with it, you know, and then people get to climatize with you as well because they're watching you change slowly. Yeah. You know, I think it's a, yeah.
Oh, you're listening to Transpositions. This is Michelle, joined by Andrea and my guest, Jay. I'm getting some lovely messages from everyone telling us thanks and lovely show. And we love you both as well. I got Amy and, and my American bestie. Yes, thank you very much. Anyway, now tonight we're talking all about different paths and transition and how hormones really sort of help and really getting down to really learning how to go with your transition and not so much trying to force things. Now yourself, Angie, you have a lot. You have a lot to talk about with this sort of stuff. What about yourself? How long, you remember your struggles with bras for the first time? Can you give us a bit more information on that?
Okay, well, I struggled to actually wear a bra. I am intersexed, and it was something I was always hiding. And somewhere along the line, I needed to actually be me. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of fortunate that I sort of had a few bits already there. But I'd also been wearing compression shirts and binders most of my life to try and, like very tight T-shirts or sports shirts or something like that to squash everything down. It gave me a more athletic look. Mm-hmm. And transitioning was, okay, fine, I don't have to wear them anymore. And it felt so nice just being free. But then, someone said, I had to wear a bra. And hang on, I'm wearing one of these things all my life, essentially, and I'm going to do it again? You've got to be kidding. So early days of transition, well, I'd wear it for a little while, and then halfway through the evening, I just couldn't deal with it anymore, and it just had to come off.
No, that's just, it'd be annoying. Finally, they're free, and you've got to suffocate them again. Now, I know myself, like I said, I'm only 15 months in, and I know myself, I'm just now starting to really kind of grow into my girls. Now, yourself, Jay, how long has it taken for you with hormones, without say with boobs, but to really start seeing most of the changes yourself?
I guess the first thing happened was, obviously, you get the your boobs hurt like all hell once the hormones start coming on, once your glands start swelling and they start growing and all that kind of stuff. But noticeably exterior changes was probably facially first. Probably after the first year is when it was significant. But and then physical changes, it's funny, I'm still noticing now that it's, 3.5-4 years, it's only in the last year that I've actually developed hips and a waist. It's something relatively new that's happened. So, yeah, it definitely takes time. I think my boobs have stopped growing, I'm pretty sure, unfortunately.
I know, I've had moments where I've rolled over in the middle of the night and like landed on one. It's not very nice. I know myself. Look, and this is where people come back into the selfies thing. And I know the selfies drive a lot of people nuts. But if I look back on, say, the transition, and you got to watch changes, and this is where people do a lot of that. And I know you've done a hell of a lot of those yourself as well.
Selfies?
Yeah.
No, I didn't do that.
No, not at all. You don't love yourself at all.
No, I think she's got the most perfect history on film.
No, but the whole idea is you see that timeline and you watch the changes are going through. And I know myself, it took, I started in January, and it was probably about the April, May is when I actually started noticing anything facially that actually started happening within myself. And all of a sudden, I look back on some of the photos and go, oh my God, like that's how long it took. And it drives me nuts is you get some of the new folks coming on the scene and they're like, oh, I wish I could take your pills. I wish I could try one. Oh, I wish I could try your dress. And I'm like, a pill's not going to do anything.
It's time.
It takes time. This stuff needs, you need to marinate for a while.
You do. It does take time. And I think one of the worst things you can possibly do is go and get your surgeries within the first 5 minutes of starting transition. I waited a good year and a bit before, and the only surgery I have had and I intend to do was my nose. And I waited for, a good year before I even considered that and went and did that. And it was bone surgery as well, so it's not something that would have changed anyway. Your body will change, and as well, I think, again, starting transition and getting breast implants within the first few months is disastrous because they'll grow, and then all of a sudden you have, triple-sized breasts that you thought you were going to have.
Well, I've heard cases where girls have gone and got it done within the first year or a year and a half, and they're still growing, and they've had to have it removed, and it just becomes a big disaster.
Well, the girls that have SRS as well, if often is the case, if you have breast implants and then go and have SRS, you'll get a second growth spurt. So I've heard. So again, it's worth researching and worth waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, if anyone is SRS is the sex reassignment surgery, which is, the downstairs surgery. So do you have anything?
I'd sort of deal with a lot of transgender women, and a lot of them start coming to see me pre-hormones and everything, and you actually get to see their entire transition taking place. And it's amazing how the first 6 months, there are a lot of changes. There's just, you know, they're probably more superficial ones. Yes, you start getting breasts and your body starts to change a little bit, your skin's changing, but there's nothing terribly exciting in that period of time. But around the 12-month mark, you're starting to consolidate a few things. You know, your facial features are definitely really changing, but they're more on the superficial level. You've still got quite a bit of muscle around the face that hasn't started to atrophy yet, and you're still carrying an awful lot of muscle across your whole body, depending on how much muscle mass you had in the first place. But there is a significant difference between the female form and the male form as to how the muscles are constructed. But as time progresses, you get to the 18-month mark, and hang on, now all the foundations are really getting set into place, where the muscles are really starting to just disappear and the feminization is really taking place. And around the 24-month mark, pretty much most everyone is starting to settle into a position where they are definitely starting to look very feminine. And it's more a case, like Jade said, you really need to spend time waiting for things to happen. It's like a game of pool. One ball hits another ball, and then that ball hits another one, and you know, pretty soon you've got two or three balls moving around, and then you have four, five, six balls moving, and it's a natural progression on your body. But you can't expect all those muscles to disappear overnight. And you know, as you mentioned, you know, you're starting to get hips, and that's, you know, 48 months down the line. And that is something that a lot of people do notice, but it's probably a lot more to do with the amount of muscle that you've actually lost. And does happen. So many of the trans women that I was I started my transition with, they're actually starting to become quite curvy, and it's more losing the foundations that made us male.
Yeah. But even yourself, Jay, like I remember when we first met, we're walking down the street and you're like, oh, it's my arms, isn't it? My arms give me away, don't they? It's my arms. They can see my arms. They can tell I'm a man, don't they? But even
they
now,
still give me away.
No, they don't. But like now, you know, it's been, what, 2 years now that I've known you?
Almost. Yeah.
And so even now you've slimmed down even more since then too.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think weight's just shifted. It goes to my ass now. To be blatantly honest with you.
There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it moves like tits and ass, it's all that matters.
No, it doesn't go tits, just ass. It's just, that's it. I noticed when I came back from the States, and obviously food in America is food in America, and I put on weight when I went there. It was amazing. But my butt, again, that was it. That's the only thing that grows with me is my ass. I don't mind.
No, we don't mind.
I was like a plank of wood before, so now it's nice to have a bum.
No, it's definitely nice. It's definitely nice.
But you do have to admit that a lot of the attention we're drawing is really only inside our heads, and it's just a headspace for the greater part. And we don't really know what people are looking at, if they're even looking anyway. Mm. Most people just, they've got too much shit in their own head to worry about than worrying about someone else.
I know, that's the conversations that Jay and I have had today. Like, I was at lunch today and I was having a bit of a shit day, and I'm standing there and I'm just checking my phone, and this guy comes out of the elevator and he literally was staring at me, looked down, looked back up, and he has a stern look, and he just, as he's walking, his head's turning, staring at me, and I'm looking back at him going, like staring at him, like, what the hell are you looking at? And then I had another couple pass by, and the guy looked at me and then goes to her, and she looks back, starts laughing. And you just have these, you always wonder what they're joking about, they're laughing and whatever. And you had your issues today as well, too.
It's funny. I think as a trans person, you always are watching yourself. I mean, there will come a point, surely, but I don't think it ever goes away, but you're always wondering, you know, and if someone looks at you, whether they're looking at you because they're checking you out, or because, you know, they're checking your clothes out, or because they think, you know, you look weird, or whatever it is, your first thing that comes to your mind is, am I being clocked? I'm being clocked. Oh my God, they just clocked me. And it's not often the case, you know.
Yeah. So from the bigger sisters in the room, what is your advice on when it comes to worrying about being clocked or people staring or whatever?
I really think it's just more your own mindset. I walk down the street, I just don't feel that I pass or anything, but I just don't care anymore. I've actually got to a point where I'm quite comfortable in my own skin, and I exist in the world. And I think that's the most important thing. At that stage, who cares what the rest of the world says? And since then, I haven't had anyone paying attention to me. I just exist as a person.
That's it. That's perfect. Yourself?
I guess it's a little different for me because I do attract some attention because I don't exactly dress like, you know, the conservative secretary walking down the street.
What are you talking about? I thought you looked like the perfect Marilyn Monroe sitting right here, only in black.
You know, I've got my unique look, and even in my previous life I had that, so I've always been a bit of a black sheep. So, you know, it's not something I really care about either. Regarding that, you know, I'm used to having that, and I like to look a bit different. I think as well, something to keep in mind, and this is actually something my psych said to me a long time ago. He said, no matter how pretty you are or how passable you think you are, someone is always, there's always going to be one in a crowd who will pick you because they know someone, and it's nothing to be down about or ashamed of or anything. It will happen. It's part of it. It's part of the game, you know? So, and it's true. It doesn't matter if you look like Marilyn Monroe, someone will pick you. That doesn't matter. My advice is just roll with it because it is what it is, you know?
Great advice, ladies. You're welcome. Well, you're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. This is Michelle, joined by my co-host, Andrea, and our guest, Jay. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, you can SMS us at 0427-JOY-949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. Now, during the song, we were all having a bit of a chat about, say, timelines and planning and suggestions we would have for people. Now, I was starting off by saying that, you know, if I had thought back on and had a good crystal ball in front of me to give me an idea where I'd be now, obviously, I never regret things because, obviously, you know, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be sitting here now talking to you guys on the radio. But if I was smart about it, I wouldn't have actually left my previous job. I left out of fear, out of comments and things people had said. But the thing that some of us do is we leave, like, say, a secure income or a secure job because we want this massive change and everything's going to change. And like you were saying, Angie, you got to basically secure whatever income you have.
Yeah, I was had a professional career and as an engineer and basically a reasonable income. And probably 10 years before I actually started my transition, I was sort of discovering that I was trying to deal with a lot of issues. But the biggest one for me was I really couldn't deal with facial hair, body hair, or anything like that. And I knew that if I was to transition, that was something that would have to go. At a time when I actually had splash money, it was very high on my priority list. So I think I started to prioritize where I needed to be and try and build some sort of a timeline prior to transition. When transition was going to take place, I had no idea. That was something inside my head that just happened. But I think I sort of started working out, right, hair is definitely the first one on the list. Second one is, what am I going to do for employment? Who am I going to be? And so I started throwing a few things around and trying to work out what I was going to do. So I set up several businesses in the background that I could probably slip into, but then I had to start thinking about my partner of 30 odd years and my children and how they're going to react. Are they going to stay around with me? At the point where I actually was going to transition, I knew that that was a big unknown. And then how am I going to deal with that? One, I couldn't afford to leave them in a situation where they couldn't look after themselves. So I had to build some sort of security around that and work out how they could, you know, still have an existence if they were going to be with me or without me. So there were some contingencies that I had to put in there. And transition is a bottomless pit. It is so expensive. I mean, you just don't realize how much money you have to throw into it. And, you know,
well, it's not necessarily surgeries. It's things like whole new wardrobe, again, finding clothes, and even going to like an op shop and going cheap, that still is expensive.
And that's an every week thing because your body's changing so much at that stage. You know, you're starting off from a brick shit house and you're going down to a sleek little Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, there's a bit of advice. Just when I first started transition and I was only taking blockers, we went to Europe and we went to Berlin and I thought, oh my God, all these amazing cool clothes, these great alternative shops. And I bought these amazing, really tight leopard print pants in preparation for transition, thinking, oh yeah, when it's all done, I'm going to wear these. I can't wear them because my bum's too big, and that's the honest truth. So don't go and buy things thinking that one day you're going to fit into them because you won't. Everything changes. So yeah.
Yeah. Look, and it's just that bottomless pit. It's not and this, we're not talking surgeries. Like, throw surgeries out the window. We're not even going there. It's things, like you said, you know, it's the clothes, it's meds, it's going to see the psych and psychologist, and just all these small things you have to do in the beginning. The only cosmetic thing we're really talking about here is, say, facial hair. Now, I know myself now, I took your advice early days, Jay, where you had said to me, if you're going to do it, start now. And you have agreed as well in our conversation, Andrea, where if you're going to do it early days, because you're still sort of presenting as a male. You're still doing the androgynous and growing it out. It doesn't...
It's not attracting attention.
Exactly.
You can deal with it.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, while you have a career or you have a job, you can actually support that. And yeah, it becomes a habit, the hair removal particularly. And I don't know how many trans women there are out there that can actually appreciate having facial hair.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it is a very, very expensive process.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are.
And a lengthy process at that. So I think, like Michelle was just saying, start early, you know, because what you don't want to be doing is a year into your transition when you're living full time is going to get laser and having a blue face from having burnt hairs in your chin the next day at work. That is awful. You're better off getting that all done while you're still in transition, while you're still being andro, because having burnt blue hairs on your snout doesn't really matter then. You know, you can get away with it.
And I know it's my case where because I had lost that income that I had before, that now going in to get it done, you know, I had started it, but I had to finish because I couldn't be financially. And now I've gone back and do it now. And I know the thing that actually really screws with my dysphoria the most now is if I go on a Thursday and Friday and don't shave, and I've got all this, well, it's all gray now, but all this crazy, look like a homeless person.
But nicely.
Exactly.
I think one of the other things is before you start HRT, you have a much higher pain tolerance or pain threshold, and you can deal with a lot of things a lot better. And, you know, I'm not sure whether it's a combination of being sensitive as to everyone looking at you or something like that, but, you know, you can actually tolerate discomfort a lot more prior to HRT. So
I know I've had conversations with other trans girls early days who are in early days, and they have that little bit of tuft or whatever growing in, and they're spazzing out themselves. Mm. And so again, it's early days. If you're starting out, that's probably the one cosmetic thing we definitely recommend. Oh, by the way, Joe, we got a message came in, and there's somebody putting a bid in for your leopard print pants.
I'm actually wearing leopard print leggings tonight.
The leggings are stretchies. That's okay.
But what's my message?
Well, that's the message.
Okay.
Somebody wants to. They want to have your leopard print pants.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to give them away. Even though I can't wear them. I still like them. They're from Berlin.
They're my precious.
they're like violet and purple. They're amazing.
Yeah. It was a bit scary when you were looking around for that safety pin earlier on.
I know. So my first night ever on the radio, my top broke. My strap broke on my cami. So and I had a safety pin, but it's a safety pin holding up my pants, my leggings. So now my leggings are falling down.
Yes. Yeah, so anyone sees Jay on the train tonight, you'll know that her pants are falling down.
Yeah, it's either that or my top.
Well, you know, it's an ass.
I had one safety pin.
So I'm trying to think back some of the other advice you'd given me in the early days and all of this.
Well, I think do everything you can as soon as you can. A big thing for me was I had a lot of weight to shed. I mean, I used to go to the gym and do a lot of martial arts and all that kind of business, and not that that's a bad thing. You can still go to the gym when you're transitioning and all whatever. But I had a lot of weight to lose. And my advice is this regarding weight loss from a male to female perspective. If you don't lose and try and shed a lot of your male bulk and muscle and fat before you start hormones, that will still be there and you'll end up having a different shape. I think the idea is to lose as much weight as possible and then start your hormones, and then the fat will distribute where it's supposed to be. And you still, what I'm saying is, I guess, as a male, you have fat in different places. And if you don't get rid of that fat, your shape will kind of be more like a cylinder, because that male fat is still in those places in the muscle. So if you shed that first, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I've noticed that a lot of trans women, they'll, you know, get to a point where they're starting their transition, and as the muscles are starting to atrophy, that actually converts into fat. And that just adds more and more bulk to the early transition. And that's a lot harder to shift again, because your metabolism is starting to change. You're not you're losing the proteins in your muscles to maintain muscle, and it's, you know, disappearing a lot faster. And it doesn't get consumed as energy; it gets stored.
Yeah, and it is harder to lose it when you start. So definitely run like hell every day, and then you can start eating once you start hormones, because then it'll go in the right spots, and you get a big bum.
That's it. There's the big advice. Yeah. Run, Forrest, run. So, oh God. Now I'm trying to think of some of the other things along the way within the first year. Now I've heard about you 3 or 4 years. Not like I said, I've seen so many changes in the time I've known you, from your second to third and fourth.
Yeah.
What are some of the biggest, like you said, other than bum? And have you found things like mentally, things have changed? Though you were a bit bubbly the other day when we caught up, you've kind of gone a bit sort of.
What do you mean?
Oh, like, my God. No.
Are you saying I'm stupid?
No.
That's not very nice.
No.
No, I guess, I think you're always refining yourself as a person anyway, and transition is exactly that. You know, your first year, you don't even know your own name. You don't know what's going on. You think you're a god, but you're not. You know, you get a bit of stardom because everyone's like, ooh, you're transitioning. Wow. That's amazing. But, you know, it's like, I think in the you know, second and third year, you start to be comfortable, and it becomes more about exploring the finer details rather than all the crazy stuff that's happening in your life, you know, that's thrown in front of you. So I think, yeah, it's, I'm definitely a lot more relaxed, I think. And
you seem calm.
I'm not calm.
I think you get a better headspace.
You do get a better headspace as you go on. Now, you're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. This is Michelle, joined by my co-host Andrea and our guest Jay. Now, last we were chatting about Jay's headspace, and I was kind of picking in there a bit, and also having a bit of a chat with Andrea during the song, and we were getting on the topic of surgeries and SRS, and really how important really is it within the journey. And there's been cases of people have gone out for 3 months and thought, I need to do this because this makes me a complete woman. And I loved what you guys had to say. What did you, Angie, you want to jump in on this one?
I don't know. I think having bottom surgery is something that's a very personal thing. It's not going to build acceptance by the general community. They're not going to see you as a woman because you've had surgery. It's pretty much more an icing on the cake. And is it really important? You know, what sort of a relationship are you in? What are you expecting to get? Well, that could probably play a fair portion of the role in deciding whether you need surgery or not. How you identify, whether it's going to be hetero or lesbian, bi, whatever. But along the way, you really need to have a good hard think about rushing into surgery. Your body's still changing. And post-surgery, your body's still going to change. And the surgeons are not going to have the same thing to work with.
Mm.
So you need to have a real long, hard think about it. It's not like you're going to walk out into Bourke Street, drop your pants and say, look, I've got one of these. You have to accept me as a woman.
Well, look, for me, I always go and say that for me, being a woman, what's going on between my ears and what's going on inside my heart and the way I present myself and how I feel about myself, the way I'm with my children. And I feel that in order to go and be accepted by a woman is how I present myself as a woman. And just how I feel, getting an understanding of who I am.
But that's before. Gender.
Exactly.
And gender is between your ears.
Yeah. And like you said, it's more the icing on the cake is having that in yourself, Jay.
Absolutely. I think there's so much more. Well, look, I think it's a personal thing for a start. If, you know, if you want SRS, you know, be my guest and go do it, fine. But I think there is a big change, I think, now in the community. And I think a while ago, you know, the focus was always, you know, if you're trans, you've got to get SRS, you know, it's the be all and end all. It was like this never ending story of SRS. And to be honest, no one sees what's down your pants unless you show them, you know, in my opinion. And look, I'm very open and I'm not interested in SRS. I'm not going to get it because it has no benefits for me. I spent the money I saved on getting my nose done and refining things about myself. For me, I want to be perceived a certain way. I want to be myself. It's not about what's in my pants, you know, and basically, look, if that's going to make you feel better at the end of the day, yeah, fine. But don't expect people to go, oh, Oh, now she's a woman.
It really is such a very personal thing, whether you do have surgery or not. It's not something that the general population is going to really reflect on, and it's not something you're going to be able to present.
No.
Exactly. No one's going to see it. It's, you know...
Yeah.
It depends what you want from your transition. If it's a purely, completely 100% internal struggle and the vagina is going to make you the person that you are and that's it, then that's great, you know. But there is a lot more, you know, being a woman, being female, being perceived as female, living that way, doesn't have to do with the vagina. I'm sorry.
Mean, there are so many... there are quite a few trans women that... 6 foot 6 tall and quite broad, and evidently they just don't appear to be a regular female, but they exist in the world. It's their head, you know, their headspace. It's really how they feel, how they present to the world, how they relate to the world that gets them acceptance, not so much what's between their legs. What's between your legs is really something that, okay, it's your private life, it's something very personal. As Jade said, if it makes you feel good, fine. If it forms part of your relationship with someone, fine. But don't expect to be accepted as a female because you've had surgery.
Not to say, you got to basically marinate and get into your womanhood. You got to grow into it. Like any other woman in her teens who's going through puberty, she's got to learn who she is as a woman. And it doesn't matter how expensive the dress is, how expensive the handbag is, how expensive your man-made vagina was. It comes down to how you present yourself. You can do all that and still walk around and go, "Hey, how you going?" And you still,
was beautiful.
Do you like that?
Sure how you could do that.
That was really beautiful.
You like that? But I mean, that's just it. You get, it's the refinement of yourself.
It is, that's exactly. No, I'm speechless now.
I've got to tell you, I'm
I need to have a shower.
Kind of shocked.
Again, but it comes down to being comfortable within yourself. I could sit here and you know, I'm comfortable doing it because I'm comfortable within myself, who I am.
Well, look, see, for me, it was integrating. I wanted to integrate into society that way. I wanted to be seen that way. I still want my career. I still want to do what I do in life. I still want to be successful. I still want to have a normal life. So for me, a lot of it was the external side. You know, I still, unfortunately, society is still very transphobic. And, you know, it makes it easier if you can do things to integrate better. And for me, the bottom surgery just didn't play a role in that and doesn't. It has nothing to do with anything, really. And it also depends on what, you know, sexually, how you are and what you want. I mean, the other thing is, I always said if it doesn't work anymore, then I'll get it removed. But it works, so there's no need. So
there's no demonstrations, photos, or videos on that one. No, look, I'm the same way. I got the very. It's what's the point if it's working fine and whatever, just to have the aesthetics. You know, obviously, I'm not going to wear a bikini, but
you know, they have a little. You can get a what's it called? The bathing suits have a little skirt now.
Oh, do they? Yeah, a little
frill.
Little frill.
Well, by the same token, anyone that's been on HRT for a few years, you know, like 3 or 4 years, you're really going to have a lot of atrophication down there anyway, so I'm not sure that really becomes such a big issue after that. And as we've said earlier on, things take time.
Yeah, I think that was probably the bigger shock for me was the changes in that department.
The atrophy.
Yes. Just realizing how much it's changed, or like when I'm in bed and how much it's changed.
Yeah.
Overall, just the
feeling. Reminds me of the opposite. I've actually, it's extended.
We call you I'm the kidding. Tripod now. He's like, yes, there's no way I'm getting that done now.
Oh my God, what are people going to think?
I'm sure there's like the three people who are listening are going, oh, really?
Well, transition is such a personal thing, and it's really up to the individual to decide what's best for them and what direction they really want to take. But you really need to have a good hard think and do the most important things up front and do the things you can afford to do up front, because you don't know what's around the corner. And start making a checklist of what you could live with during your transposition that you have now and what you can't.
Yes. And again, this is not around the surgeries. I mean, there's the small cosmetics we're talking about, you know, facial, you know, hair removal and things like that. But the rest of it's just learning to just have a bit of patience and let things develop. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. This is Michelle with my co-host Andrea and our lovely guest Jay. We've come to the end of our show yet again. Yeah, we've had a bit of fun, we've had a bit of a laugh and a bit of a poke and fun at each other tonight. But ladies, I'd like to take this time to actually say thank you very much. I do look up to both of you as big sisters. You guys really have guided me and helped me really make some of the decisions I have made and where I'm at now. And, you know, Jay, you know, this is my way of publicly saying thank you for everything you've done for me and where
I'm at.
You're
very welcome. You know, you've been a good apprentice.
Oh, I thank you.
It's over now, though. You're on your own. We're done.
They're just definitely two wise ladies here. We do have fun and a laugh, but definitely look up to your bigger sisters and brothers and all of your transition. Now, if you have missed anything and you want to get back with us, you can come to our Facebook page, Transpositions, as well as onto the Joy website, joy.org.au, Transpositions. We can join our podcast and get us on the Apple Podcast Store, or you can go listen to our show via the site, joy.org.au. Thank you so much for listening. You have a lovely evening.
We've got a couple.
Oh, we do? Do we?
Yeah.
Because listeners will rant on for a little bit longer before we hand
I thought
over.
We could. Do we have to hand it?
Andrea doesn't want to say goodbye, everyone, but we really do have to say goodbye. Have
a lovely evening. People are probably going, thank God.
Thank God, yeah, exactly.
Get them off the radio.
You've been listening to Transpositions. We love your feedback. And if you want to share your own story, email us during the week, transpositions@joy.org.au, or contact us via social media. You'll find all the links at joy.org.au/transpositions. Thank you for listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.